This is the Kenai Conversation on listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. I'm Jenny Nyman. We're taking a look back at 2020 as far as how things went for small businesses on the Kenai Peninsula. We've got Tim Dillon, Executive Director of the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District. And then we've got Shannon Davis, Executive Director of the Soldotna Chamber of Commerce. Shannon, are you there?
I sure am. Happy to be here.
Wonderful. And Brittany Brown, Executive Director of the Kenai Chamber of Commerce. Brittany, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I'm going to ask you guys all kinds of questions that you, of course, are going to have to try and summarize for our business community. So I hate to put you on the spot there. Brittany, especially being kind of the new kid on the block, boy, did you ever take a tough job in a tough year. Just to acquaint our listeners with you, how long have you been at the chamber and where did you come from before that?
Yeah, so I started September 1st at the Kenai Chamber, and I came in, like you said, at such a tough time. But you know, I look at it in a way of it gave me an opportunity to not look back at what we used to do, but look forward at what we can do from there. So I come from Anchorage, originally born and raised in Nome, but spent most of my career in working in Anchorage. So made the transition, and it's been, you know, despite everything going on, such a wonderful transition.
Well, welcome to you. And I think that is a wonderful sentiment for businesses and organizations and basically anybody trying to get through this year of COVID is, let's not focus on everything that went wrong. Let's try and take opportunities and see what we can do to shift and be successful in the future. Tim Dillon, I'm going to throw it over to you. I'm wondering if you can give us an update on the CARES Act, because, of course, talking acronyms, that's been the big one for the year and been the vehicle through which a lot of businesses have made it through to this point and, you know, hopefully are going to make it through into the future. So can you give us an update? There's been some changes out of Washington here related to CARES. And of course, KPED, your organization was the one for the Kenai Peninsula that facilitated businesses applying for state CARES Act funding. So where are we standing with all of that?
Well, we're in better shape today than we were a week ago. We have been working very closely, and I have to give a shout out to Senator Sullivan and Senator Murkowski and Congressman Young. They've done a great job of listening to us with what was needed. And I actually sat down with Senator Sullivan back a couple of months ago and talked to him about, you know, the two major things that I was hearing not only from our incorporated communities, but our businesses and the borough administration, was that we needed two major changes to happen. One was the extension of when the monies could be used that came down the pipe from the federal government. And as most people, if they woke up this morning and saw it in the newspaper, that's been finalized. It's going to be good for another year, which allows communities a little bit of flexibility to continue to look and make sure they're not spending money to spend money. And I think that's really important, because I think there was a couple of folks that were concerned about how to make sure that they spent their money wisely. The other part that we're still pushing for, and we're working right now with the folks in D.C., is all of the Alaska CARES and the federal side of things were based on expenses instead of lost revenue. And that was the second big part that we pushed our delegation for, is that this next round of money has to be based on lost revenue. We're a lot different than other places in the country, especially because of our tourism industry and our fishing industry. And that lost revenue piece, instead of just the expenditure, is just huge. And those are two of the pieces that we continue to push. You know, the PPP is going to come back out and revisited. And
that's the payment protection. I'm going to be the acronym police here today. we all live and breathe these.
Yeah, the payment protection plan. That is the forgivable. It comes out as a loan. Mm-hmm. But then hopefully if you've jumped through all the right hoops.
If you're using it for the allowable.
Correctly.
Covering payroll, utilities, mortgage payments, that kind of stuff.
Then you have to make sure, and again, this is what's really concerning for me that we've learned a lot about is especially our smaller businesses. We have a majority of our businesses are five people and less. So people are wearing numerous hats. They have to make sure that they're accounting for dollars correctly and that you don't, you know, double dip by mistake and make sure that things are really done in black and white.
And so by double dip, you mean if someone got a CARES grant and they're applying that toward payroll, but they also got a PPP, and so they're trying to cover the same, like May with their PPP, that kind of thing, right?
Correct. They can still use it for personnel.
Right.
It's just you've got to make sure that you separate out those months,
yep,
that you're not using. And the other part that plays into that is your unemployment part. So if you have folks that were out on unemployment, so you have all those pieces to the puzzle, and that's realistically what we've been doing a lot of here the last 30 days or so, is helping people walk through and make sure that they're not going to get themselves in trouble. Because as a lot of our folks here on the peninsula have found, we've probably heard from 40 or so businesses that are currently being audited. Now, the audit's not a huge deal. You just have to, you know, prove you did what you said you were going to do. So we're just telling people to make sure that they do it on a piece of paper, not on the back of a napkin. So
right,
they can pull things back.
Yeah, accountants and bookkeepers are really kind of the unsung heroes in the business world of surviving this year. I think those folks have been pulling some hairs out, as you say, Tim, especially the mom and pop businesses, you know, how they keep their books in a normal year compared to the, you know, the relief of terror from getting care support and then the terror at the end of the year going like, oh my gosh, did I do this all right? Did I keep track of it? What's going to happen?
Well, you know, and that's where the partnership between KPED and our chambers has really been so, so important, because I'll get a phone call from Shannon and she'll say, you know, I heard from a member and this is what's going on. And what do I tell them? You know, and you know, we'll be able to research it and make sure that that works. But that's what's so important with having folks like Brittany and Shannon. And yeah, Brittany has learned under fire here, but she's done an awesome job. And what we're doing is we're learning and seeing what are some of these other things that we can do for our businesses once we come out of this thing, because education's got to be part of it.
And I want to throw out just a real quick caveat here before we get too far away from the December 30th deadline. So, of course, DC has extended that in a lot of cases, but there are some specific grant programs that are still saying, no, we're going to stick to the original terms. This money needs to have been spent by December 30th. So don't assume, everyone out there, if you got some sort of CARES support through, especially through a particular grant program, double check. Don't just assume that you saw the news out of Washington and that it covers your particular program, because there are some, like Alaska Community Foundation, they're still sticking to the December 30th deadline. So do your homework.
And please, if someone's got a question, you know, pick up the phone and call us. 242-9709. And if we don't have the answer, we'll find out the answer for you. But the last thing we want is something positive to turn into a negative.
Okay, so that's some good news coming out of DC. Let's pivot to the local communities now, Shannon and Brittany. Shannon, maybe we'll start with you. What have you heard from your member businesses this year? How have folks fared through COVID? Are there certain sectors that did better than others? Were there some surprises on your end?
You know, there's certainly a wide range. And, you know, Silvatn is a little bit unique in the peninsula in that we are such a hub for retail, as is Kenai, that I think we might have, as a community, fared better than other areas of the peninsula did. But there are certainly sectors that were hit incredibly hard, especially the tourism industry. And I think that we're not even hearing all of that yet. We did an amazing job. Let me back up. I don't want to say we did an amazing job. We made the decision to resell our 2021 visitor guide back in September. We finally made the decision, and we just weren't sure. We were ready to pull the plug on it if we didn't have the support for it. And our visitor industry are so optimistic about what 2021 is going to look like. And I have to give them so many kudos, because this was a brutal year for tourists. and tourism. And I do have some information, some hard numbers showing how Soldotna kind of fared a little bit better in terms of like our retail sector. We were only down for third quarter 1.6% in our taxable sales, but communities that rely so heavily on tourism, like Seward was down 45% in their taxable sales in third quarter. So that's kind of a highlight on how heavily impacted tourism was this year and how much they're going to need to be supported coming into next year, and hopefully have the right kind of support, not only from our governments, but also from Alaskans. And we also need to really recognize how important tourism is to the Kenai Peninsula. Retail-wise, we did better than expected. A lot of our restaurants pivoted and did very well. We also implemented some programs that were helpful. Right in the very beginning, we created a Facebook page that highlighted delivery and pickup options for businesses. And within a month, we had over 4,000 followers on that page, and it's very active today. So there are certain things that businesses did that really helped them survive, but we're certainly not out of the woods.
Right. Okay. And so, Brittany, I know you haven't been around certainly through the summer, but I'm sure you've heard from some of your members. How do you feel like Kenai businesses have been doing through all this?
You know, I'm just going to shout out here with Shannon in that, you know, more so our communities in our, you know, our cities, as opposed to others on the peninsula, we didn't do all that bad. I mean, we were close in similar ends in the tax income, but you know, talking to our members, we were seeing a lot more of the trouble with our restaurants. We got more of them coming in saying, you know, as far as the membership, what can we do? What are the opportunities for us? We're struggling. But, you know, Tim has been such an awesome resource for, you know, all the businesses on the community. And so leading folks either that way or providing them the resources that we have. I haven't been here all that long. But, you know, coming in with already Tim starting that process with a lot of our businesses, you know, and looking at from my fresh perspective there on the peninsula, because coming from Anchorage is very different, you know, the effects in Anchorage as opposed to the peninsula. It was very, very night and day. I was looking at this in a positive light that they were doing so much better than a lot of the other communities in Alaska. And so as I looked at that, it's how are we more marketing and bring your community together to increase that spending. And Shannon, you know, Shannon, I want to just give a big shout out to you on what you were doing prior to me coming on board. I mean, taking a look at that and then also sharing lessons learned with a lot of the things that you were doing once I arrived. And, you know, it's really about coming together here on the peninsula in the community, sharing lessons learned, because that's the only way we're going to get through. And you're noticing that more and more as we move through the end of the year and as we get into the new year here.
Yeah. So the Facebook page that you two are mentioning, I think, is the Greater Soldotna Takeout and Delivery Options, which definitely morphed into much more than just Greater Soldotna. And I was, you know, creeping on that, as most peninsula residents were, I think, during the summer. And the thing I noticed, A, is how nimble and creative businesses were being in figuring out how to deliver their service in an entirely new fashion. I mean, a lot of these folks maybe did some takeout orders, but to be able to run your entire business in that vein is quite a shift. But from the community standpoint, the tenor, the tone of the posts on there was just so incredibly positive. The amount of people saying, like, I can't wait to try this one. I did this. It was great. Okay, well, maybe it was a little late, but I don't care. I'm going to support local. I mean, a lot of social media, let's be honest, is pretty negative, and people taking the opportunity to point out maybe what isn't awesome. But that page in particular was just so incredibly positive and supportive. It really made me feel good to see that.
Well, you know, thank you, Jenny. We, you know, when we created the page, we created it with any kind of branding for the chamber because we wanted to make sure that people felt comfortable with it being organic. We wanted people to understand that this was just organic posts. But I will say that we have a phenomenal employee here named Sarah Hondell, who not only created the page, but was also the admin on it. And she made sure that there was pretty much zero negativity on that page, but she didn't have to do much because I will say that's been one of the beautiful things that we've seen this year in the community is so much support for shopping local and supporting our local businesses.
Right. And I think Tim wanted to jump in here.
You know, I wanted to add that I think it's been across the board, whether it be with our chambers, with our cities, with our unincorporated areas, the Kenai Peninsula really has led the way through this whole thing. And I think one of the reasons is, like, you know, Shannon, you helping Brittany with different things and you helping, you know, Jason and you know, brand new over in Seward and Brad in Homer. We all have a feeling of helping each other and everybody on the Kenai Peninsula. Yeah, we want to make sure our numbers are what they are, but I don't see one community competing against another, where you see that all over the state of Alaska. And I think when you start looking at, you know, your city managers and how we get them together, and when Stephanie Queen has a question or needs some help, she picks up the phone and calls Paul. Or picks up the phone and calls Rob or Cassidy. You know, that's something you're not seeing across the board. And one of the things that it really shows in, and I've had a variety of phone calls from the governor's office to the commissioner's office to Ada, when they've looked at the Alaska Cares and what we've been able to do here on the peninsula. And it's because everybody has worked together. They just came out with the top seven areas in the state of Alaska of applications approved and dollars. And I can tell you for Alaska Cares, and this is straight grant money, that there were 1,438 applications approved in the municipality of Anchorage for $73 million. Well, the number two area in the entire state of Alaska is the Kenai Peninsula, with 1,041 businesses approved for $49,692,000. The next closest community is the Matsu Borough, which they had 499 for $20 million. So, and it goes down from there. But a lot of that is because we all worked together. We all helped each other and tried to figure out, okay, I don't have a clue how to do this one. What do we do with this? What do we do with that? And it wasn't just with Alaska Cares. It was with PPP. Mike Dye and North Rim Bank over in Soldotna did a phenomenal job. He's a tremendous resource. I also think, isn't he on, Brittany, isn't he on your board also?
He's on our board.
He did a phenomenal job. And North Rim Bank wound up at the top of the heap when it came to processing PPP. You know, and all the banks helped out, but North Rim really did a great job. And again, it was one of these things that we're not competing with someone else. We're just trying to get money out into the community. And I think that meant so much to everybody.
I wish I had a applause sound effect queued up here. I'm falling down on my board operator job. I will do my 20-minute in operator job and reintroduce everyone in case we've got listeners just joining us. This is, of course, the Kenai Conversation on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna. I'm Jenny Nyman. We're taking a look back at 2020 as far as how things went for small businesses on the Kenai Peninsula. So we've got Tim Dillon, Executive Director of the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District, and then we've got the Executive Directors for the Kenai and Soldotna Chambers of Commerce, Brittany Brown and Shannon Davis. All right, my task is done for the moment. So another thing we brought up and then pivoted away from, but I do want to spend some time talking about tourism specifically, because that was one of the more challenging sectors for folks. And Tim, I think you made a point that is particularly relevant for tourism as far as CARES funding initially not being able to be used for revenue replacement. So, I mean, any business, any nonprofit organization obviously knows what a big challenge that is. Any municipal government, of course, they weren't able to use it for revenue replacement either. But for tourism businesses specifically, because a lot of those businesses, their startup costs come from the previous year's revenue. So just being able to cover, you know, payroll and get their bills paid and mortgage and all that good stuff is great. But if they then don't have that nest egg in the bank coming into this spring, they're not able to, you know, ramp themselves up, buy the fuel they need, buy the permits they need, do the marketing they need. To not have that in the bank is really going to hurt them going forward into next year. And I think that's still a pretty big question mark for folks. Shannon and Brittany, have you heard anything surrounding that topic as far as tourism businesses, how they're going to be able to get started in 2021? I'm hearing you say that folks are optimistic for how that season's going to go. But boy, if you don't have the money to get yourself going, how are you going to be able to capitalize on that?
So I'll jump in first, if you don't mind, Brittany. We have had many conversations with our members, our tourism members in particular. The reason that they are so optimistic about 2021 is because their bookings are so good. So we have businesses that are already 75% booked for the summer. The problem is that a lot of the money that they have for that is the money that people have rolled over from canceling their trips in 2020. So you're absolutely correct in that even though people are going in with good numbers on their books, the finances weren't there from this year. So it is going to take several years for these businesses to bounce back. But it will certainly be helpful if we have the restrictions are relaxed enough for people to be moving freely in and out of the state. And then also for Alaskans to continue to do what they did this summer, which is show up on the peninsula in droves. And I'm very hopeful that this summer in particular, a lot of people were introduced to the peninsula that maybe hadn't explored this part of Alaska yet. And that now that they realize how fabulous it is, they'll be back. So hopefully between those two things, our tourism businesses will be able to rebound. But it's certainly not going to be gravy for anybody for a couple of years now.
Our poor tourism businesses were already coming off a year of the Swan Lake fire, too. So kind of insult to injury for them. Sorry, Brittany, absolutely. I didn't mean to jump on top of you there.
No, that's OK. I was just, you know, going to say I totally agree with Shannon in that sense. You know, we talking to our members, you know, in Kenai and in Soldotna, it's really the focus. You know, our members are asking us, how can we continue with encouraging our local community to spend the way that they spent this year? You know, as you look into the new year, we are seeing a lot of visitors who are requesting our visitor guides or trying to find, you know, the resources of the businesses in which they can contact for their travel plans in the new year. And we're getting a lot of those. And, but really one of the things that I think helped us through this year was the support of the community, you know, as we said earlier, and that's one of the things that the community is trying to encourage, particularly, you know, the chambers, is how can we keep our community involved?
And of course, how to do that safely in the larger context of COVID. So it's not, you know, chamber approaches, I think in the past have very much been, let's have a big party of some sort for some venue. And of course, that's not a thing we can do these days. So the way that the chambers have been taking to social media and marketing through other outlets, I think has been really creative and obviously pretty dang successful this year. Tim, it looks like you're wanting to jump in.
Well, yeah, I wanted to say, you know, if you go back to back in June, and it seems like it was a lifetime back then.
June.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we all talked about was, you know what, gang, we have to realize the visitors from out of state and out of the country are not coming. So let's realize that and let's figure out what we can be doing. And I think one of the cool things that we saw from the chambers and just from the borough, you know, as a whole, from the administration to each of the city mayors and things was, let's do this safely, but let's work on two things. One is our shoulder seasons, which is something that we've always talked about. And I think the chambers have done a great job with that this year, is trying to emphasize the shoulder seasons and really, you know, taking some pages probably out of Fairbanks' book, because, you know, Fairbanks has really done a nice job with working the shoulder seasons. But the other was the internet or their web awareness and their web presence. And I think you see things like what Paul Ostrander and the folks in Kenai did with having the grants to be able to have businesses have somebody look at their website and help them improve and things. And I think it's all those kinds of things that, you know, are really making the Kenai Peninsula very, very attractive. And it's not any surprise to me at all. You know, we've just started our comprehensive economic development strategy for, you know, the next 5 years, and quality of living has come up on the top of the list again. And that's one of the reasons why people want to live here. And it's been interesting, the number of Zoom calls around the state that I've been on over the last 6 months, and the number of people that have come down and visited Soldotna and Kenai and Nikiski and every place else down here on the peninsula. And now they're looking at a second home. They're looking at buying some land and doing some things. And part of that has to do with the quality of living. Part of it also has to do with the tax structure and how things work down here. And, you know, once you hit 65 and you know, the break you get on your real estate and things. So I just think that the job that the chambers and the communities as a whole have done with all of us, it's really put the Kenai Peninsula, you know, first and foremost with everybody. And it really is, I go back to Shannon's days with KPTMC, it really is Alaska's playground.
Yeah, it was certainly marketed for that this year. This is the year for Alaskans to enjoy Alaska. And I think a lot of folks took advantage of that. Boy, looking at hiking trails and whatnot this summer, there were so many people, and the license plates were not rentals. They were Alaskans out in Alaska. So that was kind of fun to see. So we just mentioned a couple of locally focused CARES programs. And that's the other piece of this that we haven't talked about as much yet. So there were, of course, the state grants. There was, you know, the PPP program, which was a federal program. And then each municipality rolled out their CARES support in different ways, although a lot of folks ended up having similar programs. Brittany and Shannon, maybe you can talk a little bit about this, some of the local support programs, whether it was helping with marketing or whether it was, you know, forgiving water bills. There were a lot of different approaches. Are there local programs that you two saw that were particularly helpful for folks?
Sure, I'll jump in. Absolutely. And I will say, I believe the city of Kenai and Soldotna did a phenomenal job with their CARES funding, trying to get it for what it was intended for, which is into the community and into people's hands. Tim had mentioned the program that the city of Kenai did in offering mini grants to people to help with their websites. The city of Soldotna did something very similar. Lots of programs for housing relief, lots of help to the food bank, which was phenomenal because I know that our food bank was hit particularly hard this year. My favorite program, my personal favorite program, was the opportunity to work with the city of Soldotna on the Holding Our Own Shop Local program, which was really phenomenal for us, a great way to end the year. And I'll tell you why. And that is because we were able to give people $100 in vouchers for $200 spent in Soldotna. And the reason that this was such a positive for us is it allowed us to have conversations with so many businesses and so many people that were participating in the program about so many positive things. So there was just this outpouring of gratitude and so much focus put on our businesses. Jenny, you had mentioned earlier about how the Greater Soldotna Takeout Facebook page had a lot of positivity on it. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed on that page was that people were discovering businesses that they had never known existed before. And that's what we saw also with the Shop Local program. So in the end, we had 58 businesses within the city of Soldotna that signed up for it. And we hand wrote just under 6,000 vouchers.
Ouch. Hand cramped.
Yeah, it was insane over the course of a month. Let's see. We had participants from all over the Kenai Peninsula and places outside of the peninsula, including Wasilla. We even had somebody from Cordova that utilized the program as far as receiving vouchers. But what we heard over and over again, because people would physically come into our office and we would put this list of 58 businesses in front of them that they could receive their vouchers from. And we would hear over and over, I've never heard of this business, or I think I've heard of this business. I think I'm going to check them out. This is the first time ever. And we saw that over and over again. So I just have to give a huge shout out to the city of Soldotna for funding this program. We gave out over $280,000 in these vouchers. So that was my favorite program.
Yeah, and to further brag on the Kenai Soldotna area, I will say from a reporting, news reporting standpoint, you know, much of our job has just been getting information out to people. So a lot of it was, hey, everybody, this program's available. Hey, everybody, this program's available. Announcing the Kenai and Soldotna programs and seeing how long it took for other communities to follow suit, especially outside of the borough. You know, I'm from elsewhere in Alaska, and so kind of keep tabs on how things are going in other places. Kenai Soldotna area and the Kenai Peninsula borough in general, I think, really led the way in getting those dollars out the door and getting them to communities. And Tim is waving at me here.
Well, you know, and it's great. We always talk about all of our businesses. And one of the area of business that is huge in this area is called our nonprofits. And Soldotna, when they started looking at, okay, what are we going to do with this money, how are we going to try and fairly, you know, dispense it to the different kinds of nonprofits? Because again, let's remember, nonprofit, all it means, it's a tax designation. It doesn't mean how you're doing business. It's a tax designation is all it is. And I actually participated in several of the meetings that they had over in Soldotna, and they had a great cross-section of folks involved. But I can tell you, here on the Kenai Peninsula, just in nonprofits receiving money from municipal relief money, $7,730,000. And that's to places like the Food Bank, the Challenger Center, you know, all the different nonprofits that exist on the Kenai Peninsula. And that's so, so important. And it goes back to our quality of living. But I know the chambers had a lot to do with that, and especially Shannon, because I was sitting right next to Shannon during one of the meetings. So,
well, Tim, I appreciate you bringing that up, because I had a note to bring it up as well, that the city of Soldotna, I think, really did a fabulous job of bringing people together to create these programs rather than just doing it in a vacuum. And I was very impressed with exactly what Tim is talking about, those meetings. I think some great things came out of them, and that's because they listened. They listened to the community.